Some politicians wait for the public mood to change on an issue like animal research, and some very prominent politicians have been speaking out in the last week or so. Some politicians go before the public mood, and Evan has been talking about animal research and putting himself forward for an awfully long time, so we're very grateful to him.
Thank you very much. I always like to start speeches with a Woody Allen joke, even when it's inappropriate, especially perhaps when it's inappropriate. And in Manhattan, which I know many of you will have seen, he's in the Museum of Modern Art, I think, and he's talking to someone he knows. And he said, "Did you hear the Nazis are marching in New Jersey? I think we should get some baseball bats and go down and, you know, show them a thing or two." This is Woody Allen again. That's funny in itself. And this guy, academic guy, is talking to him, says, "I read a very, very good opinion piece in the New Yorker about that. It was devastating, you know, it's very satirical." And he said, "I always think satire is a better way to deal with these things." And Woody Allen said, "I think with Nazis, baseball bats wins." But I have to say that there is a happy medium, and that is for people who disagree with what they consider to be an extremist and unfair view, to march themselves. And that's why I was so pleased, one of the reasons why I was so pleased to see the organisation led by protest of that march. And I congratulate all those involved with it, especially, of course, Laurie Pycroft. And I'm just sorry I couldn't be here to agree with you again. At least I can say, which I can very rarely say because I've got quite strong opinions, that I haven't heard anything tonight that I disagree with. It's a nice thing to be able to say. I have to say, one of the reasons I was pleased to see it is that I had a similar idea, which was to do a counter-protest outside the site of the lab a couple of years ago, and I raised it with the Research Defence Society, because I don't think there's enough conflict in my life, I guess. And they thought it was a good idea, but we never quite got it together. And one of the reasons I'm pleased that protest has been formed is that they've done it so well, whereas anything that I think other people would have tried, particularly those who are less adept at what they've done, it would have fallen flat, and that was the real danger. But this has been anything other than falling flat. It's been fantastic, and a real boost, I know, to people who write to me, who don't go public, expressing concern about the pressure they're under. And it is important that we use the opportunity we have in a free country of putting our point of view across. I recognise that I'm in a very fortunate position to be able to speak out, and I do. And I don't feel, actually, I've never felt intimidated, because part of the point, I think, of the intimidation is to stop people from speaking. My view is that those people I know who are already speaking, they don't bother with, because it's a lost cause. It just enables me to say, look at the intimidation I'm getting, and it damages their case further. So I'm strongly of the view that people should speak out. I do in Parliament Science, as you may know, and I also do human rights. I rushed from a discussion of torture, which is why I'm a little late on our committee. And there is a balance between the freedom to protest and the freedom the ability of people working in animal research to get on with their job. And I find that a difficult balance. One of my big campaigns has been freedom of expression and attacks on it mainly through the religious. And that's why I'm not convinced, and I've gone public on this, that the full extent of the restrictions sought by Oxford University in respect of extending their injunction are justified. Now, I don't blame Oxford University for seeking, that's their job, that's their interest, to go the furthest they can go. But I would hope and expect that a judge will find a happy medium on some of this, and not necessarily give the establishment, if you like, apologies Ken, everything that they want, because we have to have the freedom to protest, and I don't think it damages our cause for people to see the protests, as long as they are balanced. We now have both sides. What's always concerned me about the movement against animal research is not their position, because I think on some grounds their position is a coherent one, and one I respect. That is the ethical view that it's wrong to use animals for human benefit. I disagree, but they're entitled to that view, and I respect it, and I'm happy to debate that argument. What cheeses me off is when they use pseudo-scientific arguments against animal research, and that is illegitimate because it is misleading, and that's why I've been so pleased to see the efforts made by the Research Defence Society and others to challenge the misleading claims in public leaflets by the animal rights protesters, most recently a leaflet by PETA, which is a very well-funded, celeb-backed organisation in the United States, which was found to be in breach of Advertising Standards Authority guidelines, and also the Europeans for Medical Progress. You can always tell the validity of an organisation's scientific status by when they have their progress, arguably, in their title, or advancement. It's usually a bad sign. And that was, they were found against on five bases by the Advertising Standards Authority. And it's important, it's absolutely critical for the sake of science, and I feel very strongly about that we don't allow pseudo-scientific arguments to be used to attack animal research and to be used to subvert the scientific technique and the scientific approach. So non-peer-reviewed work, which is, I think, has the status of assertion rather than evidence, selective quotations from peer-reviewed work, misrepresentation of people's opinions as well. That's the sort of thing you expect from politicians like me, and I occasionally have to say I will inadvertently deliver. But it's not the sort of thing we should see in the scientific debate. I have an adjournment debate tomorrow on the use of animal research in healthcare and medicines, and that's an opportunity for me to debate directly with the government minister some of the issues and some of the things that I would want to see. But I first want to say a word about the politics of this, because I have to say, despite the kind words of the chairman, no political party has a fantastic record on this matter, my own included. I want to say that at the outset. I have a whole series of colleagues who are signing early day motions left, right and centre that they really ought to know better, because this is not our party's policy. And I'm spending a lot of time, and I've got a meeting with the leader tomorrow to discuss how we transfer signatures from loopy motions to more rational ones. And there's front benches from the Conservatives on these silly motions as well, and a lot of Labour back benches. So I don't claim, I want to make this clear for my party, any superiority in this area. But there are differences, and it was good, I think, I have to say, in the local elections recently, we were able to point out, particularly in the student area, the differences between the Greens and other parties. The Greens were very clear that they oppose animal research fundamentally, and to their credit, they didn't seek to, as some people might, to sort of run away from that. They took it on the chin. And it's right that people should make decisions on that, as they do on tax and environment and so forth, on the basis of political parties setting out different positions. The Labour Party, and this is the preamble to what I'm going to say tomorrow in the debate, has an interesting checkered record in particular. I would describe it as the good, the bad and the ugly. And this isn't personification, I can assure you. The good, we have to say, is David Sainsbury, the science minister. He's been a strong supporter of science generally and of animal research. And the record of the DTI has been good, and there's no doubt about that. And I put that on the record previously. And it's needed to be good because of the head of steam that was built up. In 1999, the Labour Party announced that their pension fund was withdrawing investment from Huntington Life Sciences on ethical grounds, not on investment grounds, on ethical grounds. And I spotted this, kicked up a fuss, but no one else did, the Labour Party. And that really gave a boost to the protesters against Huntington, because they could say even the government thinks this is wrong. But since then, the DTI has really come to the support of animal research and is helping Oxford University as well. So that's the good. The bad has been, until very recently, the Home Office approach. This has not been a priority area to police, and the intelligence has been poor as well. We hope to see some improvement, but the number of prosecutions is small. I mean, obviously they're very public because they're so rare, and convictions even smaller. And we need to see more progress in this area, because if you compare the number of incidents with the number of prosecutions, it's a very big breadth. Very big discrepancy. And finally, the ugly it isn't about Patricia Hewitt herself, because it's previously lookalikes of mine, is the health department. There has not been, as far as I can find, a single speech by a health minister pointing up the advantages, or health secretary at least, the advantages and the need for animal research to have the insights into disease through animal models you've probably heard about, and indeed to ensure that there's the safety testing of drugs. And every day, hundreds of thousands of medical staff in the NHS are treating patients and have the opportunity to take the lead, as the people have done locally here, to say how important this is. And they've not been given the lead by government ministers or, as I say, opposition spokespeople. I'm going to make that clear. And so, yes, it's great that Tony Blair speaks out in a week when there's big publicity about dug up bodies. And there's been a conviction. But I think the timing is dubious, because I think we should be speaking out politicians all the time, even when it isn't a good news week for those of us in the struggle. What I'm going to say tomorrow in the adjournment debate, and I'd be keen to hear what you think about this, is call for more leadership in the field of health, so that people who use the health service know the importance of animal research. So I think every press release from the Department of Health, from NHS Clinical Research and the MRC, should have information to the journals stating very clearly, even if it's a clinical trial, that is a human trial, human results, what animals have been used in the development of the science and in the testing of the drug. The onus is on the journalists to not report it, rather than scientists saying that they're not going to mention it. Scientists and clinicians not going to mention it. And that should be a given. And the other thing is that I think it's time that Pillbottle said this product, this medicine, was only available for its therapeutic value through the use of animals in a humane, carefully regulated way. Okay? Because young people, and we're losing this war, I think, the war for the hearts and minds, perhaps not in Oxford, but I can tell you elsewhere, young people see bottles of lotions and potions saying, not tested on animals, and they think that's the default. They think that's the expectation. And they don't see on the pharmaceuticals that they use, the statement that it would only have been possible, is only possible, not just in the testing, but in the development of animals we used. And it's the same with vaccines. And we actually have DFID ministers talking about the need for the use of animals, including primates, in vaccine research that I know Andrew will talk about. And now, if you're up early enough, at 6:50 tomorrow morning, you'll hear the ABPI of all people, the Association of British Pharmaceutical Industry, argue with me on this one. On this bottle labelling thing. It's very early. You can play again when you get up at 10 o'clock, talking to the academics on the streets in the audience here. But they're going to say, well, patients might not take the drugs. Well, that's their right. Informed consent is about setting out the position and allowing adults to make decisions. I'm not saying in a paternalistic way, you're not going to tell them all the information. We label stuff about GM, we label things about whether they'll make all our children obese. We should, on a fundamental matter for future science, be willing to be more open about its use. So I hope that I'll be able to persuade the health minister to run with this. I'm dubious, but we'll see. And the final thing I want to say is that, as I said at the demonstration, I don't think that it's necessary to defend medical research and scientific research using animals because we're under pressure. Although we are, I think it's important to defend it as superb science, particularly some of the genetic work of animal models, which, the fact that I couldn't understand it during my degree makes me feel I should praise it now instead of self-defense. Because it is superb science, and we should be much more proactive through protests and other means in supporting medical science. Thank you very much.